Welcome to the AquariumMax audio show with Russ and Kelly. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics.
This is episode 53, recorded March 14th, 2011. Hello, everybody!
We have a special guest today.
Carlos.
So thank you for joining us, Carlos.
Thank you very much, Russ and Kelly, for having me tonight.
And you hail from New York, is that right?
Yes, actually, just outside of Albany, New York, upstate.
Okay.
Very cool.
So all the way from New York to Utah today is our connection. So we're glad to have Carlos here. We had some communication on Facebook about his pumpkin seeds. Not the botanical variety,
but the
piscine variety. And so we're going to talk a little bit about those today. But we'd like to get started with just some general background questions with your experience in the hobby. So I think Kelly's going to start out with that.
Okay. Why don't you tell us how long you've been in the aquarium hobby and how you first became interested in keeping fish?
Starting to think back on it, actually, it dates me a little, but I've been doing this for over 25 years. I've always grown up with, you know, the assorted goldfish in the bowl, but I really caught the aquarium bug in seventh grade. My science and homeroom teacher, Mr. Edgar Rao, maybe he's listening, had a fish tank in the classroom, and a friend of mine and I had the honor of being the feeders and cleaners of such tank, and ever since then, I've never been without some kind of fish.
Very cool. Hooray for educators with fish.
Exactly. Yeah, do you remember what species there were at that point?
I most certainly do. He had two gold barbs, weather loach, pimelotus catfish, a couple blue gouramis. Don't remember. He must have had a platostomus in there probably also. But I remember distinctly because at the end of the school year, he had to tear the tank down, and I came home with the gold barb.
Yeah, I have fond memories of weather loaches myself. My brother and I kept as kids, and they would come up to the surface of the water and kiss when they wanted something to eat. It was fun.
Yeah, they're very, very neat fish.
They are. Well, now let's skip forward in time a little bit and tell us a little bit about some of the species that you've kept and bred more recently. Kept and or bred, sorry.
Yes, sure. I really love all fish. I've probably kept at least one of anything I can think of, but I would say at the present moment and for the last 15 years or so, I really love bettas, especially Betta splendens. I'm a member of the International Betta Congress, so I spend a lot of time breeding bettas and drying them and finding a couple that might be nice enough to show someday. But besides bettas, I love swordtails also, steelfish and corys and anything resembling a placostomus I absolutely adore. I've also bred white clouds and platies and guppies and a couple other live bears, some of the easier egg layers also.
Okay.
Quite a range.
Yeah, that's a good range. I must admit I have the same sort of penchant for Placostomus, and yeah, those are a lot of fun. And
yeah, for some reason, if they're ugly and they hide all day long, that's the fish for me.
Yeah, there's something about certain fish. They look kind of ugly and
They got personality, though.
Yeah, they do.
Exactly.
They do. I was talking to a coworker at work just the other day who said she had a very large Placostomus that would... It took an aquarium decoration, would drag it around the tank and drop it in odd places. Who knows why, but...
That sounds like one I have upstairs.
You wanted to play fetch.
Yeah. Okay, well, what made you to decide to keep pumpkin seeds?
Well, I really think... native fish in general, just no one talks about them at all. There's so many beautiful temperate water fish that nobody keeps. And growing up and fishing in assorted ponds, the first thing that bites on the hook are either pumpkin seeds or bluegills. and either one of them are really stunning. You pull them up and you just can't believe it's not South American cichlid of some kind. So I decided someday I was going to keep sunfish. And actually, my brother-in-law on his property had a rather large pond, and I don't really know how he caught a bunch of them and offered to trade me 6 of them for a couple of bettas. So, of course, I jumped at the chance. Unfortunately, I had an Oscar that had recently passed away, so I had an available 55-gallon tank.
Perfect.
There you go. So is that how many you have now, is 6 of them?
6 of them, yep.
All
right. Cool. Going. Oh, go
ahead. Growing very well, actually.
Good.
When I first got them, he caught them quite small, and he had them for about 6 months before he gave them to me. So when I got them, they were about 2 inches, the 6 of them, and the largest one right now is about 5 inches, and the smallest one is just a shade under 4 inches, I would say.
So that's a good size.
Yeah, and what is the maximum adult size for pumpkin seed sunfish?
It varies depending on which source you look at, but they seem to say typically 6 to 8 inches.
Okay, so some of them are close to adult size then.
Yes.
All right.
So if someone, after listening to this podcast, decides they want to keep pumpkin seeds, how much experience do you think they should have as an aquarist before they try to keep the pumpkin seeds?
I would say moderate experience. It's rather difficult for me to say because these days it really seems like I bring fish home and throw them in the tank and everything works out. considering that they don't need a heater, I keep mine in an unheated aquarium downstairs in the basement where it's cooler. So I would say the water temperature is around 60, 62 degrees, and really what you need is space. Some sources cite that they're aggressive fish, but I would say no more aggressive than angelfish. As far as a cichlid-type behavior, they're not anywhere near like Jack Dempsey meme. So I would say they're a fairly easy fish to keep.
Okay. Now, do you have them in with any tank mates besides their own species?
I do not right now. Right now it is just the 6 of them. I toy with the idea of getting a couple of larger goldfish just because I can't think of what else I could put in with them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I may keep just the 6 of them and see if they start to exhibit any spawning behavior once the temperatures start to rise a little.
Yeah. So do you you say that the temperature is right around 60 or 62? And but that's not true all year?
I would say probably during the summer it may, down here in the basement where I am right now, so that doesn't bother me. It's around 70 degrees, so it doesn't get higher than that.
Okay, but enough of a variation that they would be able to detect that. That's, I guess, between 8 and 10 degrees, so that would certainly be obvious to them and could be a spawning cue, and that's kind of the idea?
I believe so. The more I look into the possibility of wanting to spawn them, the more they say that temperatures in the low to mid-70s. So I may, once the temperatures start to rise, if it doesn't quite hit the trigger temperature, I might put a heater in for that purpose.
Okay. Now, as far as pumpkin seeds go in appearance, I guess a lot of our listeners may not have a good image of what they look like, and of course they can go to the Aquamax Facebook page and check out the picture that you sent us, but just as an auditory description of pumpkin seeds, what would you say? How would you describe them?
I personally find them very cichlid-like in behavior. The people that have come down and looked at them immediately think that they are some type of cichlid. I would say, though, that they're probably a little thinner in the sense that angels and discus are. They're not quite as wide, and they're a little rounder. I would say if they were a little bit rounder, they would look a lot like discus.
Okay.
But in general, I say that in body shape, they look a lot like a jewel cichlid or a Midas cichlid, the typical Central American type.
Okay. And How would you describe their coloration?
Well, I would say the body is kind of like an olive green base, but they have like electric blue squiggles, is the best way I can describe it, through the head and the gill covering and a little bit through the lower body, and then they have these very bright orangey red spots all over them.
Wow.
Okay. Light hits right. They really look almost metallic. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, they are beautiful fish. And does the name pumpkin seed come from an aspect of their coloration or pattern or anything like that?
I believe that it's because of the little red spots.
Okay.
I guess because of the shape of the fish and the spots, they look like pumpkin seeds on a pumpkin.
Okay.
That makes sense. All right. Well, we'd like to ask you a little bit about the setup. You mentioned they're in a 55-gallon aquarium and a little bit about the temperature, but in terms of other setup considerations, how do you have them exhibited right now?
Just as far as the technical stuff, I have a very basic filtration system. I believe it's a Whisper 3. It's the oldest filters I've had and still kicking. One of the larger overhang double cartridge type.
Okay.
So it gives, there's a lot of water movement without there being too much because they come from calmer waters. They're not really found in anything fast moving.
Right.
And then I basically have large rocks that I've collected, sorted trips, and plastic aquarium plants. I would love to have them in an actual planted tank, but they love to uproot everything.
Much like the cichlids.
Exactly. So that makes it a little difficult.
Okay. And this is kind of a side note, I guess, but you mentioned you collected the rocks, and what sort of precautions did you take when collecting those to make sure that they were safe for your aquarium? Because I think some of our listeners probably don't know how to do that.
I usually boil any rocks that I find twice for probably about an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Time. Make sure that any weird sediment or whatever might be on them comes off.
Okay, and that's always a good precaution because you never know what sort of insects or fungi or whatever you might introduce otherwise. So that's a great precaution. Do you ever test them for alkalinity?
My pH runs the mid to high 7.5 to 7.8. I'm not exactly sure. I've never tested the water that they come out of or mm-hmm. where they came out of specifically, so I'm not sure what the native pH is.
Oh, we seem to be losing your audio.
I'm sorry, can you hear me?
Oh, yes, now we can, yeah.
Okay.
Just went down for a second there. Okay, so they seem to be happy in whatever it is, though, I guess.
Oh, they seem perfectly happy. Yeah, mm-hmm. I've had them for 2 years now without any sicknesses or strange behavior. Get a little telltale signs that fish give you when they're not feeling so good.
Right. What do you have in terms of lighting on the aquarium?
I'm not sure what the wattage is, but just a standard aquarium hood fluorescent bulbs. I usually give them about 10 hours of light a day. Not especially bright.
Okay. And is it a stock lighting for a 55, or do you have double bulbs? Or?
No, stock lighting.
Okay, so probably just the one 48-inch bulb? Okay. So they don't seem particularly demanding in terms of setup, then. That's nice.
4-inch bulb.
Okay. Oh, it looks like our break is coming up. So we'll take a little pause here, and then we'll be back with Carlos and his pumpkin seed sunfish.
This isn't a commercial, because it's not trying to sell you anything. It is, however, the part where we shamelessly encourage you to be a part of the Aquarimax audio show by calling and leaving a message any time of the day or night at 801-477-0629. If you don't want to actually talk, but you do have a comment or question, you can just send us an email to info@aquarimax.com. There. That wasn't so painful now, was it? And welcome back. We're going to continue talking to Carlos about his pumpkin seed sunfish.
Yeah. So, was there anything else about the setup? I think we've pretty much covered that, right?
Yeah, actually, like I mentioned before, it's just a very basic, very uncomplicated setup.
Okay. And what is your maintenance regimen for the tank?
I usually change about 25% of the water every week.
Okay. And do you notice any behavior when you change the water, how they react? I know a lot of fish get kind of energized by water change. How do they show that, or do they show that?
Afterwards, I suppose they might be a little happier that there's fresh water in there. They don't like the siphon being in the tank whatsoever. They usually hide all in a mass in one corner of the tank behind the plants.
That's interesting.
Yeah. That is. You get all sorts of reactions from fish, from ones who try to bite your arm to
exactly
run away. So
I'm used to bettas coming and trying to pull the hairs off of my arm, and these guys, which are much bigger, all try to cram into each other, hiding in a corner.
So are they usually fairly timid then, or just with water changes?
Generally just with water changes. They don't have any problem with people approaching the tank. They're very eager to, you know, when it comes to the tank, like any fish, they're very, you know, eager to anticipate being fed. It's really just during water changes that they turn into a bunch of chickens.
Huh. It's interesting. I don't know if I've ever encountered a fish that was that way. Either it's timid all the time,
Yeah,
that's interesting. I know that when I first started with Celestial Pearl Danios, they were extremely timid, and it's only the second generation that has proved to be a little more relaxed. That first generation just stayed timid the entire time. But, I don't know if that would be true with pumpkin seeds or not. But.
What preys on pumpkin seeds in the wild?
I would imagine large fish, probably like largemouth bass that we have around here. They're found in similar waters. And herons and any kind of large predatory bird, maybe snapping turtles also.
Maybe they think it's a beak?
Maybe. It does stir up a lot. You know, the siphon's in there and gravel's churning up through the tube, so I could see where. Because if I'm cleaning the glass with the magnetic scraper I have, they usually are pretty good about ignoring it.
Mm-hmm.
All the motion, I would imagine.
It's interesting.
That makes sense.
So what do you usually feed them?
They're really easy to feed. Everything and some old literature that I've read, because one of the first places I saw one was in the Handbook of Tropical Aquarium Fish by Dr. Herbert Axelrod, one of my favorite books ever. It says that they won't take live food. These guys eat primarily Hikari cichlid pellets. Any variety. The mediums are just a tad bit too big for their mouth.
Okay.
But besides cichlid pellets, they eat frozen bloodworms and brine shrimp, and occasionally I, whatever betta culls I have for swordtail culls, they also eat little fish.
So they get a pretty varied diet, and they're happy with all of it.
Oh, yes, very much so. Earthworms also are very big fish.
So do you go out and collect those yourself in the backyard, or do you buy them, the earthworms?
Oh, yeah, I collect them in the backyard.
That's more fun.
No, I remember doing that. That's, it sounds like they're undemanding in terms of food, although Axelrod's book indicated that they only ate live food. Was that
correct? That? But this is going back. I mean, the first edition was printed in the 60s, so... possible that once already at a specific size, that they may not take live food after being accustomed to something, since these guys were so young and they were brought up on flake food. And then when I brought them home, I started them on cichlid pellets.
That makes sense then. So they were in a pond for a while and taking flake food. So they had kind of a chance to get used to it under fairly natural conditions?
I think so. Well, I'm not certain if they were eating the flake in the pond. I know my brother-in-law had caught them and put them in his tank and then gave me some. He still actually has probably another dozen.
Oh, okay, so they were in a tank for a while before you got them.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But actually, just fishing, I mean, anyone that's been to a pond, I'm not certain if there's what type of sunfish you guys have out in that neck, that way of the country, but here, sunfish will eat anything that you drop off a dock. Breadcrumbs, plant material, they'll go up and taste it. So,
I do remember visiting my grandmother's pond down in Texas and dropping blackberries on the surface of a pond that was full of bluegill, and they would snap at the blackberries.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so that makes sense.
Yeah, I found it pretty hard to believe.
Yeah. Okay, well, we've already talked about some of the unique characteristics of sunfish a little bit, what makes them interesting to keep, but I'm sure there are several other things that you could add. So what would you say? What are the unique attractions of pumpkin seed sunfish?
Besides the fact that they're just physically very appealing, I just like the idea of keeping something that is native to our country, that, I mean, if you look in a British aquarium magazine, they usually have a species profile of some chub or dace or shiner that is from here, and yet you go to the fish store and you can't find any of them. So they're much more popular in Europe, sunfish and our native minnows, than there are here. So I just like having a piece of a pond in my house, I guess.
Yeah, that makes sense. There really are a lot of unique and interesting species. Like, some of the darters are amazing in terms of colors.
Oh, they're spectacular.
And you'll never see them in hardly any stores. And even some of the ones like the least killifish or eastern mosquito fish.
Mm-hmm.
I used to keep a population of those, and they were amazing, just charming little fish. Not very brightly colored, but very interesting. And just in terms of how they reproduced and how small they were, it's just interesting to look into those maybe less commonly delved areas of the hobby, I guess.
Yeah, I think we have an incredible amount of unknown, and certainly not unknown, but just for some reason not popular with the American aquarist.
Yeah, it must just be the fact that they're too close to home.
A fish has no honor in its own country.
Yeah, the grass is always greener. It's true. Yep. So, can you tell us a little bit about the breeding habits of pumpkin seeds? And you did mention that you're thinking about breeding yours in the future, but how does it work?
Well, from what I read, I have no first-hand knowledge of this, the temperature of the water has to be approaching low to mid-70s. And the male, again, very cichlid-type behavior, the male excavates sort of like a little crater. Usually they do so in shallower water in the pond. And he makes a little nest, clears all the rocks and everything out of the way, and then invites one and apparently up to several females lay eggs in the nest, and he fertilizes them and then stands guard over them until they hatch.
Hmm. That is indeed very cichlid-like. Does the male take care of the young after they hatch?
He does not care for the fright, as far as I know. One source that I read, it was an article actually on the North American Native Fish Association website, NANFA.org. There's an article about spawning the pumpkin seed, and it recommends removing the father once the fry are hatched.
Okay.
Perhaps we could find that link and put it on the resource
page. Yeah, we should put the link on the resource page. That's a good idea.
So, I mean, you got yours in kind of a special way, or your brother from the pond. Is there kind of a reliable way or a best way to obtain pumpkin seed sunfish? Or can we just, you know, are there legal implications of catching your own since they're hard to get a hold of in a pet store? Or how do you recommend people get a hold of these fish?
I am not certain of the legal implications. I know as far as just standard fishing license, amount you can catch per day is much higher than other fish because they're so prolific and abundant.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there are special permits for scientific and educational purposes, but I don't know hobby-wise what the legalities are, to be honest. I would imagine it differs from state to state because the fact that they're bred and exported to Europe and Asia, where they're quite popular, so it must be legal somewhere.
Yeah, well, that would make sense if it's legal enough to catch a whole bunch to eat them. I imagine you could catch a whole bunch and just take them home.
Well, yeah, honestly, I mean, obviously, if you're going to keep them, you have to keep them. You can't keep them and then re-release them because, the differences of what you have going on parasite-wise and what they become immune to in your tank is completely different to what they would find in a pond. So you could be releasing God knows what back out into the ecosystem.
Right.
Very true.
Never so release anything.
Right.
Exactly. Once you keep it, it's yours.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. And then to all of our listeners, just as Carlos was mentioning, laws can vary from state to state. So just if you're going to plan on keeping pumpkin seeds, just check out your local laws. You can contact your local fish and wildlife within your state and just find out what that is. Because they really
do. Yes, my comment should not be construed as legal advice.
Because they really do vary a lot from state to state.
Very much so.
Yeah.
And as far as catching them, the larger ones are really easily caught with a hook, and line, although not the way I would recommend doing it if you would like to keep them, because obviously that's painful for them.
Right.
During the later summer months, the younger fish really hang out in very, very shallow water. I mean, you could pretty much just walk out there, and if you have a big enough dip net, you could pretty much scoop through and catch up quite a few. I believe that's how my brother-in-law did it.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
That probably the best way to do it. I'm sure that the younger fish probably adapt better to a tank situation anyway. That tends to be the case for most fish, so that's probably the best.
I would imagine.
Yeah. Okay, and which resources, websites, books, clubs, and so on, would you recommend to anyone wanting some additional information on pumpkin seeds?
I would say primarily the North American Native Fish Association. It's NANFA, NANFA.org. They have a wonderful website and club. I'm not a member yet. I'm thinking about it very seriously. And as far as information on pumpkin seeds and other sunfish, they are listed in almost any aquarium book. Like I said, I found this one in the Handbook of Tropical Aquarium Fishes. They're listed in Simon & Schuster's Guide to Freshwater and Marine Aquarium Fish, and probably a few others.
Yeah, I know I've read a few things on them. So it could be that maybe at one time they were more popular in the U.S.
Probably.
And it seems like we've, perhaps with the advent of big box stores, we've lost a little bit of variety.
And just the assortment now, the ease with which fish are imported to what they were 40 or 50 years ago.
Right. They weren't as regulated then, so some things were easier. All right. Well, do you have a website or anything like that that you would, of your own, that you'd like viewers to check out? Anything like that?
Nothing devoted to my pumpkin seeds. Like I mentioned earlier, I am a member of the International Feta Congress, and also have my hands in all different aspects of the Central New York Betta Club. And Central New York Betta Club has our own Facebook page, so if you guys want to pop in there and check it out, and if there's more interest, I will put up more pictures, and that would be great.
Okay, yeah. So, listeners, go check it out.
Yeah.
We love bettas, too. And you mentioned you have a pineapple, or is it a yellow?
My yellow placot.
Yellow placot. I love the placots.
Ah, he's my favorite. He's got the most personality of all of them.
they just seem to have...
It's proving difficult to breed him because he's a habitual egg eater.
Oh, yeah. Well, they are a lot of fun. I would say that placots are probably my favorite. It's hard to choose, but they're just a lot of fun. Well, Carlos, we'd like to thank you once again for joining us on the show today.
Yes, indeed.
A wealth of information and intriguing kind of a taste of what pumpkin seeds are like. So, thanks.
No pun intended, I'm sure.
Oh. Actually, I didn't intend
I hear
that.
They are quite tasty.
So, you have two different kinds of pumpkin seeds you can eat, I guess. That's true. Well, so we hope that we will have you back on the show for something else sometime.
Maybe about betas.
And please keep contributing via Facebook and other venues. We hope to hear from you soon.
Absolutely. I'm recommending the show to all of my friends.
Awesome. Thank
Hooray!
You. That's what we
what
need.
We, like.
We love that. So thank you for your support in that way as well.
Mark, thank you. You're very, very welcome.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquarimax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquarimax.com. For comments and or questions that may be featured on an upcoming podcast, leave a message at 801-477-0629 or email us at info@aquarimax.com.